morning. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. We're so glad that you are here to worship with us this morning. God is doing great things in the lives of his people in this community. If you can, will you stand and worship with us this morning? The Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So if you want to put your hands together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I've tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Your freedom is all that I know.
Come on.
The old made new. Jesus, when I met you, when you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing.
I have a future,
my eyes are open.
Cause when you call my name,
come on,
I ran out of that grave.
Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Hey!
And say good morning. Have a little seat. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. Glad you're here. Some of you are going to get seated. If you're a student, you're going to head out. So I see it seems like there's a Chris Davis right there. Follow Chris. or he's at least going to shoo you in the right direction. So thanks, students. Give a round of applause to students. Hey, we're so glad that you guys are here. We're going to have a great time. This has been our Summer Digs Plus. So we've been in the cafeteria this summertime, and we're extending it into the fall a little bit. So thanks for being here. It's a little different, but it's there's got some real benefits. So one is it's loud. Yeah. The other great benefit is this. You get to meet people. So we want you to hang out a little bit afterwards. We have some coffee and some great some refreshments in the back. We'd love for you to hang out a little bit. Don't zip too quickly to the car. Hang out, get to know some people, meet somebody that you've never met before. Now, some things are happening this morning that you want to be aware of is that we are going to be this morning taking a few moments to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we're going to do that at the end of our service. And some things that you should know about the Lord's Supper is that Discovery, if you're a Jesus follower, we invite you to participate with us. You don't have to be a member of this specific church. But if you've made a commitment to Jesus, we would love for you to this morning remember God's gift to us of his Son. And so at the end of the service, we'd love to have you participate. When it comes to kids participating, we would ask that if your child has not invited Jesus into their life, you include them, talk them through the process, and help them see the significance of the Lord's Supper. If they have invited Jesus into their life, celebrate it with them. Let them take the elements together. So before I say anything more, I want to invite Kathy up here. Kathy, give a round of applause to Kathy. Oh, you get applause even if you haven't done anything around here.
I'm going to be hosting a course coming up, and there's information in the back. It's called Transformed, Shifting Faith from Doing to Being. And John asked me to come up and just give a little moment's testimony about what this means to me to do this. What's shifted in my world, in my faith, for years and years and years was that I felt like I needed to be something, do something, and become something before God was really going to accept me, before I was the right kind of Christian, before I was the kind of person that God could love. And I think we kind of get caught in that. And some of that's from our family culture or even the culture of the church, the things that we pick up as expectations or ways of being that seem like we need to step into that. And so this is going to be all about how we already are the person God calls loved, and that even that messiness that's going on inside of us, even when we're angry with our family, even when we're not getting it all together or getting it right, that we are his beloved. And so we're going to sort through some of that, because that's where the real transformation happens, is when we can accept and recognize what's going on, the reality of our internal world and how much we're loved. He's already sitting in that space with us, loving us, and that is where the real transformation comes. And that's where when we do, it's out of our belovedness and not out of who we think we need to be. So this is going to be October 5th through the 23rd, and there are some resources that you will need. So they're in the back as far as like an example. If you do need help paying for them, always let us know. We're happy to help. It's 2 to 4 on Sundays from 2 to 4 down in Lakewood at Covenant Bible Institute. We got a nice big classroom. We're going to meet. We can bring snacks and just have a great time together. So just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kathy. Some of you might be aware that last week we kicked off our small groups. And last week I shared something. This is a great opportunity to share it again, is that we don't believe that what we're doing right now is church, okay? I know it's kind of in our slang. Hey, I'm going to church. You know, this morning some of you are like, man, you're at the stoplight and you're mad because, hey, I'm late to go to church, right? So we use that phrase, going to church, but we don't really believe that you go to church. We believe that when Jesus saves you, you're a part of the church. The church is really meant to be family. Sunday mornings is something that the church does. It's a program that the church does that we think is really important to your ability to connect with the family members. It's also really important to grow your faith and worship together. But the church really is family. And events like Kathy was talking about, these spaces, I want to encourage you, if you're not in a smaller group of people, this might be a really great step for you. Just to step in and maybe learn, you know, you might want to go there to learn something, but our hope is that you'll go there to become part of a family. So anyway, talk to Kathy. Kathy will be available. Listen, everybody turn around. She lighted up a bulletin board back there. There's lights on it. You can't miss it. So she wants you to, she went the extra mile with lights. Give it up for her, the lights. Wow, I mean, okay. So anyway, enough about that. Hey, we get to do, there's some other things that we get to do as a church together that are just such a blessing. This summer, we've had multiple baptisms. We love celebrating baptisms. But we also love doing something called child dedications. We believe that children really are a gift. They're a gift, certainly to God. They're a gift, certainly to parents. But they really are a gift to the church family. And so this morning, we are going to dedicate a child and really a family. I'm going to invite them up here. So would you guys give her a little round of applause to Akemeni and Harry. And they have their little clan here with them this morning. So come on down. Hello. Everyone, this is Akemeni, and she's going to do a couple introductions here for us real quick so you get to know this awesome family.
Good morning, everyone. My name is...
You didn't think they'd say something back, did you? Okay.
Yes, it's haven't held a microphone in a while. My name is Akemeni Peterson. This is my family, and I'm so thankful and happy to be here. With me is my husband Harry, Amara, my 5-year-old daughter, our baby girl Eliana, and I also have my mom here, my oldest sister. This is my mom Grace, my oldest sister Oto, and then my middle sister Uira. They're here from Louisiana to just spend the weekend with us, and yeah, so we're just super blessed to just have the opportunity to fellowship and be with them this weekend. Yeah, we're so grateful for God's goodness and for our church family as we celebrate this moment for Eliana. Yeah, so that is pretty much it. Thank you guys for having us, and thank you guys for allowing us to dedicate her to this church.
Excellent.
To this community.
You bet, absolutely. Would you like to keep holding on to that microphone, or you want to get rid of it? I don't need it, but I you seem like you weren't a big fan, so I'll set that down right there. Well, this is, by the way, welcome. And so I hope you're not too cold. Okay, you're liking it. Okay, you love it. So anyway, we have a few here in our family that are from Louisiana. And some can't wait to go back, and some never want to go back to the heat. So it kind of depends on where you are. But so thank you so much for being here and taking the trip. So as I said a few minutes ago, we believe that children are a gift. And I think you recognize that. You know that. They certainly bring joy to your life. And one of the things that parents have wanted really from the beginning of time is to recognize the gift and really represent their child to God. In the Old Testament, there's a fantastic moment where Samuel, his mama had prayed for a long time to have a child, and she was prevented from having a child for whatever reasons for a long, long time, and then God gave her a little one, Samuel. And when Samuel was 5 years of age, mama came and she dedicated Samuel. And now when she dedicated Samuel, she actually brought a bag or two, and she left 5-year-old Samuel at the temple. So, Eliana, they're not doing that today. So you get to go home with the people you love. But I illustrate that to say that really from the beginning of time, I think parents have understood that, you know, you hold this little one in your arms and you think, oh my word, this is heavy, not because the child's heavy, but because you recognize this holy position that you're in. So what we want to do today is I want to share with you a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to ask for you to make a commitment before the Father and before the church And then the church, I'm going to invite them to do something very similar. And then we're going to pray for Eliana today, okay? So some things I think are important to remember as parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." And then it says, "Impress them on their children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." In Deuteronomy, it certainly is talking about how important it is to raise a child up in the ways of God. But I love, and I think it's so important to note how it starts. It starts with, impress this upon your own heart. The truth is, Eliana is, she's going to learn lots of things. She's going to pick up things from teachers, from watching things on shows. But you know where she's going to pick things up the most? In the everyday moments, particularly from mom and dad. And for it to really stick, for her life to, for her to grow up and have a deep connection with Jesus, she needs to see grace and mercy and forgiveness and the work of God in your own hearts and lives. So this morning, particularly Harry and Akemene, I want to encourage you to focus first on your relationship with God. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is focus on your relationship with each other. Eliana needs a home where she sees forgiveness and grace and mercy, laughter and love played out. She's going to pick up faith by watching that. I like this in the book of Ephesians. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." You know what is the most exasperating thing for a child? For a parent to say one thing and do something else, right? And so let me encourage you to live out your faith brilliantly, faithfully, in front of her day in and day out. As parents, we are to love God with every ounce and fiber of our energy and teach our children to do the same. As we love God, we will model before our children a wonderful love for God that they will want for themselves. By coming forward before God and his people, do you, Harry and Akemene, declare your desire to dedicate yourself and Eliana to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "I do," to this phrase. Don't get tripped up yet. Here we go. That Eliana may walk in the abundant life that Jesus offers, do you vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide a Christian home of love and peace, to raise Eliana in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage her to one day trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? If so, please say, "We do." Excellent. Okay, I've said it a couple times. It takes more than just this family, okay? It takes an entire church. So we have an extended family standing with this family. I'm going to ask you as the extended family, if you'd be willing, please stand with this family. We believe it takes a church. And church, I'm going to ask for you to make a commitment. Having come freely, I ask that you make the following commitment to this family that stands before you, and specifically to Eliana, so that Eliana may walk in the abundant life that Jesus offers. Do you vow by God's self to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ and help these parents be faithful to God and help teach and train Eliana in the ways of our Lord so that she may one day trust Jesus as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do." Excellent. Would you keep standing? We're going to pray this morning for this family, and we're going to pray specifically for Eliana. Jesus, I am so grateful. I'm grateful for your grace and your mercy in our lives. This beautiful little girl that's in front of us this morning, you knew her before we knew her. You had a plan, an incredible, beautiful plan. You have that for her life. And central to that plan is her faith journey. Jesus, it is our prayer that this young leader that's growing in this home, it is our prayer that she might fall in love with you. God, I pray that she would fall in love with you because she sees not just laughter and good times and great times at the table, but Father, I pray that she sees mercy and grace, forgiveness, love, tenderness. God, I pray that she sees restorative relationships played out in her home day in and day out. God, it is not our prayer that she grows up feeling like she has to be perfect and be somebody that she isn't, that she could celebrate the gift that she is and one day understand the grace of Jesus. God, I want to pray specifically for Akemini and Harry, that you would not only keep growing their faith, but you'd keep growing their health in their home. And God, bless this family. We're so grateful for the extended family that is here, not just presently, but they're expressing today that they are in the journey. God, bless them as well. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. We have a little certificate and a book. It's their first Bible, and I bless you guys.
Thank you.
Come on, thank you.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you,
Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Sing holy.
Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
On church, sing worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I not
no one like you. There is none beside you.
Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
I'll put my trust
But God, we worship you in this place for your greatness, for your goodness, just because of who you are. We invite you into this space. We invite you into our hearts today. And even in the places where that's hard to invite you, Father, we ask that you would soften. Have your way.
I invite you to be seated just for a moment. Keep praying. Most of our mornings on Sunday are similar. We sometimes have to go out the house before we're ready. Sometimes on the car right here, we're kind of just rushing. Some of us, we walk into this space, even though we've walked into it other times before, or some of us, it's the very first time, it just stirs some anxiety in our blood pressure is a little higher, our heart is racing a little more, and some of us, we're just wanting to get through. But I think that would be a tragedy to miss on those things that God is wanting to do in us right now. So as Bobby was praying, I'm going to invite you just to just take a risk this morning and do your best to just put everything on the side and say a prayer like this. God, help me be present here now in this moment. The second thing is to pray something like this. God, help me not only be present, to be soft. And then the third thing to pray this morning is this. God, help me be ready. You see, God hears prayers like that. He's not looking this morning for you to play church or you to act a part. He's inviting you to be present. Just for a few moments, just tune out all the lesser things. He's inviting you to be soft. To, for a few moments, just not put up the kind of resistance that you're used to putting up. And then be ready to take a step. It doesn't have to be a big step. It doesn't have to be a monumental step. Just a faithful little step forward in the work of God this week. Father, I'm asking in this place that you turn a high school lunchroom into a sanctuary. Not because of the music or not because of the form or the function, but because you, Father God, meet with people every size, shape, person in any sort of situation in life, you meet them. The scriptures, the Bible's filled from beginning to end with people, some who are running from the law, on their way running from the law, meet with you. Some in the middle of the biggest failure, meet with you. Some distant and with other agendas, meet with you. You pursue over and over again. May you pursue us today. May we encounter that in Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you again for sharing your Sunday morning with us. I'm going to try to be as much as possible in the light so that the live stream folks can see. And there's a special spot in here where I may also start to feed back. So And some of you are glad for that because you'd like me to stay back. So anyway, I'm going to fight that a little this morning. I'm excited. Before I jump in, I want to just share with you that next week we're kicking off a brand new series that's called Whale. Let's try it. Let's say it. Ready? Everybody say it. Whale. Whale. And it is a series that is going to be from the book of Jonah, and it is all about coming back. The whole series, for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to focus on coming back. And you may know somebody that it's hard for them. The faith experience, the journey with God, the journey with Jesus is hard. It's fraught with all sorts of stuff. You may know somebody that's struggling with deconstruction in some way. I would encourage you to be praying for them and consider inviting them to join you over the next several weeks. I think it's going to be really, really transformative as we walk this series together. So anyway, Whale next week, Book of Jonah. So if you have a Bible, I really want you to open to two books at the same time. I don't know if I can get you to do that. So we're going to be in the book of Joel and the book of Acts today as we wrap up our series called Dream. And this whole month we've been talking about dream, the dream. And my hope is that you have a dream. I pray you have a dream. I pray that the dream is clear and vibrant in your life because it is God's will, desire, and design for your life to have a dream. Now, when I say dream, I don't mean those sleepy nighttime things that happen when we close our eyes. And I also don't mean those daytime aspirations, you know, those great ideas, the one day you'll do, or the entrepreneurial idea that's going to turn the world upside down. And none of those things are bad, by the way. I think that you should aspire. You should hope for bigger things for your career and work and family, all those things. But I mean something different. Something bigger, something far more grand. It is God's heart that you have a God-sized, God-driven, God-given dream. This is God's heart for you and for me. Tucked in the middle of this little book in the Old Testament, the book of Joel. It's a small book, but it is significant. It's significant really on a couple of levels. One, it's significant because it is the inspired word of God, and we are told that all Scripture is God's breath. And so the book of Joel is powerful because it is the breath of God, but it's also powerful because it has a promise. A promise that is impacting your life today, whether you know it or not. And so I'm hoping by the end of today, you see the significance of this promise embedded in the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. I think we've hit on it in some way every week of this month. Joel 2, 28. God says this, "Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." God promises. Can we turn down just a little bit, Austin? Because this allows me to be a little louder when I want. So, God promises that He will pour out His Spirit on which people? Yeah, everyone. All people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Now, 2,000 years ago, God sent His one and only Son, Jesus. He came, He taught, He did wonderful and amazing deeds. At around the age of 33, He was unfairly arrested, He was unfairly tried, He was physically beaten, and He was executed on a Roman cross. When He died that day of Friday 2,000 years ago, they took His limp body off of the Roman cross, and they buried Him in a tomb. And on the third day, God brought Him back to life. Jesus was resurrected on the third day. Any hoots at all? Not a one hoot in this room. Woohoo! You're supposed to say woohoo. Okay. Jesus, the Son of God, the one and only Son of God, was resurrected on the third day. This proved forever that his words were true, that he is the one and only Son of God, that he is the Messiah. It proves that through him and through him only can a person have eternal life, that there is an eternity, that there is something that exists beyond the grave, and that we, regular people, can put our trust in him and have that. But it also means something else took place. The New Testament tells us that Jesus rose from the grave. He spent the next 40 days. The resurrected Jesus spent the next 40 days with his guys. They ate fish and bread on the beach. They hung out. A doubting guy named Thomas got to put his fingers in his hands. They had this confirmation that who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God. At the end of 40 days, Jesus takes them up to a hill and says, I'm out. Just before Jesus leaves, they say, wait, wait, wait. What next? And just before Jesus returns to heaven, Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to wait for the promise. Now, what do you think he's talking about? The promise of Joel 2:28. Jesus says, I want you to wait for the promise of Joel 2:28. And so this little ragtag group of people, this small little kind of, you know, motley crew, so to speak, they gather in a little space, in a little room, and they pray. And they pray, and they pray, they pray, and they wait for 7 days. And after 7 days, it happens to be the Jewish festival of Pentecost. And on that day, God fulfilled the promise of Joel 2:28. A little ragtag group of people received the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Luke says it was like there were tongues of fire on their heads. But Luke says that wasn't the cool thing. You know, the cool thing was, is this little ragtag group of powerless people, just nobodies, no-name people. They were in this room, their little holy huddle, praying and waiting. Luke says that they leave their holy huddle, they go out into their city, their neighborhood, and they begin to tell everybody they can find the glories and goodness and wonders of God. And Luke says what is so cool is that these men and women are communicating the glories of God, and people are catching it. People are hearing the goodness of God for the first time. It's capturing their heart and their minds. It's transforming them. And Luke says it's really cool because these regular everyday people are telling everybody they can find. And what normally stops communication, ethnic, cultural, political differences, are no longer even there. When they're telling their friends, neighbors, coworkers, shopkeepers about the goodness and wonders of God, Luke says everybody there is hearing it in their own heart language. Luke says it's amazing. There is this breakout in this really mosaic space. There are people from all over the world, and every man, woman, and child is going, I get it. For the first time, I'm getting an understanding the gospel. It's a really amazing day, okay? And so, now, every time there's something amazing, there's always a naysayer in the group. Amen? It doesn't matter what it is. Like, if you tell somebody, hey, you got to watch The Greatest Show. I said, watching this really cool show. Someone would be like, well, it's not that great. It's not as good as the original. I watched the original back in 1953. It was way better. So, there's always like a naysayer, right? And so this really cool thing is happening through Jerusalem, that men and women and children and families from every tribe, tongue, and nation, every sort of political, ethnic, and cultural background, they are captivated by the story of Jesus. And so some people jump up and they're like, hey, these people are crazy. We think they're drunk. And there's this weird, like a mob is developing, and it's just chaotic. And then there's this dude. Maybe you can relate to him. He, less than 2 months ago, he had the biggest life failure that a person could possibly have. I mean, you ever screwed up just so royally and you thought, I don't know if I can show my face anywhere again. I don't know that I'm welcome at church. If people knew what I did. And so there's this guy, he's been kind of sitting in the background for the last 40, like almost 50 days. Just like, and this chaos is building. And there's this really beautiful day is beginning to go sideways because this mob is developing. And so this guy says, I just can't take it anymore. And he stands up. His name's Peter. Okay? And Peter stands up. He finds, I don't know, maybe it's a chair like this. And he pulls up a chair. And he says, everyone listen to me. You're missing. There are two most significant days in all of history. The first is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the second is this day right here, where God fulfills the promise that he has given for many, many, many years. So let me read it to you. I want you to hear. Luke records the whole sermon. We're not going to read the whole sermon this morning, but in Acts chapter 2, we're going to read in verse 14. It says, Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice, and he addressed the entire crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Some places, it's not too late to get drunk. Okay, so maybe in Tacoma that happens. But he says, no, these people are not drunk. It's still 9 in the morning. It's impossible. Verse 16, he says, no, what is happening right now was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Peter says, this is the fulfillment of what God promised, that men and women everywhere would be filled with God's Spirit. Scrolling down to verse 41, if your Bible's open to Acts chapter 2, you'll see that it says, after he explains the gospel with more clarity, the people, they're torn up inside. It says, verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized. And watch this, 3,000 were added to their number that day. This mosaic multiplying mission, this movement was launched. Not because of lights and lasers, not because of the right kind of internet campaign, but because of the dream. The dream that God promised. Now, what does all this mean to you and me today? Well, I know for a lot of us in 2025, we like to read scripture and we go, oh, maybe this is going to fix my thing today. Maybe this means if I pray for 7 days, if we just prayed for 7 days, there would be breakthrough in our house, right? Or maybe what this means is if I really meant it this time, you know what I'm talking about? Like sometimes you've made a commitment before to God, but you're not sure, maybe it didn't stick because you didn't mean it enough. When you read a story like this from Acts chapter 2, there's a tendency to go, well, maybe what I should take away is I just need to mean it more. Is that what Acts 2 is about? No. Absolutely not. Acts 2 is about one and only one thing. God has given the dream already. Already. We are living in the present reality of God's dream existing in men and women right now. You don't have to want it more. You don't have to work harder for it. You don't have to send money to a preacher somewhere. You don't have to buy a program, read a special book. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have the promise of Joel chapter 2, verse 28, alive and well in you. That's what this means. A new age has dawned. You are a dream holder because of God's fulfillment 2,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Okay, I haven't convinced you yet. Some of you are like, oh, I'm taking this in. So in Joel chapter 2, after the promise that we received the Spirit, Joel 2, four verses later, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the Old Testament promise. Everyone. Who does that include? Everyone. Even me. Peter brings this back in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The people are starting to get messed up by this thing. Like, wait a minute, we're getting it. Jesus came for us. We have sin. He died for our sin. They're starting to understand this. And they say, okay, what do we do? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then he says this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to want it more. You don't have to mean it. You don't have to send money in. You don't have to do any of that stuff. If you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you are a dream holder. The Spirit of God resides, watch this, fully in you. I love the next verse. Let's read verse 39. It says, the promise is for you. Is this up here? Can you see it? Let's all read together because I want you to catch this. This promise is, read together, is for you and your children. And watch this. And for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Who's he talking about? He's talking about everyone. He's talking about us. In a cafeteria on the east side of Tacoma, 2025. This is your promise. You have it. When you invite Jesus into your life, it releases an amazing, miraculous work of God in your life. In John chapter 7, Jesus, this is the words of Jesus. Like, don't take it from me. Let's just listen right to Jesus. Ready? Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. It means that you are now a source for your family, your neighborhood, our city, our generation. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Like, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. Not maybe, not might be, not work harder. That's why I love that. I love it that Kathy's doing this study. Like, it's not about working harder. You are the redeemed, and you are a dream holder. The Holy Spirit of God resides in you. John 14, Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And I love this. Some of you probably have memorized this. John 14, 12 says, and they will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. This is our present reality, friends. We don't have to want it more. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to scream for it. We just have to live it. And that's what Luke records. I want you, again, back in Luke chapter 2. I know I'm synergizing some things here, two different books. But in Luke chapter 2, after the people prayed and invited Jesus into their life, they became these dream holders. And in Luke chapter 2, starting verse 42, Luke says, I said Luke 2. I keep saying that. Acts 2, 42. Luke is the writer of Acts. Does that help everybody? Okay. These dream holders devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anybody who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This miraculous mosaic movement was launched. You'll notice in Luke 2, Acts 2, 42 through 47, they didn't keep begging for the dream. They didn't keep saying, God, give us more. We need more. We're not feeling it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, Luke says, they just lived the dream. They believed that they were the dream holders, that the promise of Joel chapter 2, verse 28 has been given once and for all, and they just lived it, and it began to transform every part of their city and the world. I have a dream. I have a God-given, God-driven dream that fuels my life. A number of years ago, I did some work to rename it and title it, because I have to do that, and I write it out, and I write it out regularly. I call my dream legacy. For me, I call it legacy because I have now entered the second half of my mission. And I know that God's call for me is to leave a legacy. Now, I'm not going to go through all the specifics about my particular calling, that's something specifically for me, but I want you to know what fuels that. Because I'm absolutely convinced that there's nothing that our generation and the generations to come needs more than the gospel, than the good news of Jesus. Our generation needs that more than anything else. And secondly, I'm absolutely convinced at the core of my being that there's only one strategic tool that God has given to communicate the gospel to our generation and generations to come, and it is the church. And so for me, I know that my life must be invested in helping to build and create and mostly live out the dream that God has already given you and me. That part of the dream that I hold is not unique to me. It has been given to you and to you and to you. It's been given to us to live out the dream. So this morning, as we conclude Dream Series, I'm not trying to ramp you up to go out today and write a brand new dream. I want you to see that God has given you a dream. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, it tells us how to live it out. Four things. And I got to go quickly because I'm going to run out of time. But I'm going to share with you real quickly the four things that the dream holders did to live out the dream. Reach, redeem, depend, and deploy. They said, listen, we are the dream holders. And we're going to live it out first by depending alone on God. In Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, it simply says they devoted themselves, it says to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, but then it says, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to being a people of prayer. That's what dreamers do. When you're dreaming for your city, I hope you dream for this city. This is an amazing city. Anybody agree? Like, and I actually think with all the problems we have in our life, this is an amazing time to live. And what's amazing about it is that you and I get to get down on our knees or sit behind the steering wheel of our car and pray for the work and movement of God in a place that so deeply and desperately needs it. In Acts chapter 2, this little tiny group of people, they just committed to prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, ask. Just ask. It'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I love that, by the way. You didn't choose me. Jesus says, I chose you. And watch this. I appointed you. I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then he says this, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That's cool. God picked you, handpicked you for 2025, and he dropped you in your neighborhood. He dropped you at that school. He dropped you in that company. He dropped you so that you would be a person that sits in the center and depends on the work of God and intercedes for your clients, your coworkers, your kids, your family, your friends. Isn't that amazing? You're a dreamer, man. And you've been given this incredible gift. Ask and it will be given to you. That's cool. That's what dreamers do. They depend on God. The second thing, they reach, man. Verse 47 says, they praised God and enjoyed the favor. This is a really cool phrase. They praised God and they enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Let's translate this. They were hanging out with ungodly people, and they were loving on them. They were loving on them at work. They were loving on them in the market. They were loving on them in the YMCA. They were loving on their ungodly friends so much that the friends, the neighbors were like, it is so cool to have Frank here. We love Frank. He's a Jesus person. We don't get that. But wow, what a blessing. And it says that because they had the favor of the people, they were engaged with unbelievers day in and day out. Men and women were starting to say things like this. Maybe there's something to this Jesus thing. Maybe I should investigate. Maybe God wants something to happen in my life. Listen, that's what dreamers do. You've been anointed with the God's Holy Spirit so that in your neighborhood, in your family, among your clients, you would, Paul says, be a pleasing aroma. Reminder of the work of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This, by the way, earlier I talked about Jesus going to this mountain and saying, I'm headed out. And they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I want you to hear the last words Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is his promise. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The promise of Joel 2:28. That's you, man. Watch this. And then he says, and you'll be my, everybody, what's it say? My witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Man, that's cool. Depending, reaching, third one that they did, you see right here in Acts 2, they redeemed. They redeemed broken relationships. They redeemed this broken thing called family. They began to live in an experience. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to fellowship and the breaking of bread. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I want to put some meat on this for a minute. I want you to remember context because I think we lose it here. Acts 2, this whole thing begins with an enormous mosaic gathering of people from every tribe and tongue, culture, background, language. They were coming together. And they were hearing the gospel in their own heart language. There, among that mosaic, a church was formed. And then it is this mosaic, different people, different cultures, backgrounds,
different political perspectives, different, you know, what do they call them, little stratus that they live in socially. All of those different people were now committed to doing life together. This wasn't just my besties that we grew up together. You know, we grew up kicking the ball. No, this is a deep mosaic of people from all different tribes, languages, and cultures. Now they are hanging out, breaking bread, sharing life, selling their stuff because Frank needs it. They're doing community. They are experiencing real family across every barrier that typically alienates. Hebrews chapter 10 says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You're a dreamer. Don't live isolated. Live in a family that's rich and beautiful and hard to understand and hard to love. But on your own, you're missing out on the wonders and glories of God. Last one, number four. They deployed. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were committed to growing. Growing themselves and helping others grow up in their faith journey. Colossians chapter 2 says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue. Continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You're a dreamer, man. You can't escape it. You're a dreamer. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I don't think it's an accident that you're here this morning. I think you're just sitting on these black, a couple of them blue, chairs is a sign from God that He's been pursuing you, that He's working in your life. And He's inviting you to dream. It all begins with inviting Jesus into your life. And at that very moment that you invite Jesus into your life, at that very moment, you receive a gift that you don't deserve, that you haven't earned. But it's a gift of God's Spirit. And now He's empowering you and inviting you in 2025. Our world needs the gospel of Jesus. I don't talk about politics here. And it's not because I'm scared. It's not because I'm like, oh, it'll mess things up. It's because as important as that stuff is, it pales in comparison to the gospel of Jesus. And we could spend our time, like an energy in all these things that are important and miss the most significant things. God placed you and I here as dreamers because He wants to reach this city, this generation and generations to come. And so He's inviting you and I to just get back to living it. Living the dream, depending, being a people of worship and prayer, redeeming, being a legitimate family, not a show on Sundays, but a family, intentionally reaching. Stop chasing the dollar, man. Start seeing your job as your mission. Grow. I got to wrap up in a minute. I get kind of excited about this. I believe very much that God's doing an amazing thing in our city, in our day, in our time. And it's a gift to be here. And think it's amazing that he's not done with you. And I don't know all of your stories. Some of you, I know your story. And I would just say to those I know, I would say this. You've already given him a ton of reasons to just give up on you. And he hasn't, because he's not done with you. I'm going to invite you to just pray with me for a minute. And if you've never invited Jesus into your life, I'm going to pray through a really brief prayer. If you want to pray it along with me, I want to invite you to do that. Many of you have already done that. And I'm going to ask you, after I pray that brief prayer, to pray a prayer with me on recommitting to God's dream. Jesus, I pray that you hear the prayers of those maybe in the room that have just had a moment this morning where they recognize they need you. If you're here this morning, you've never invited Jesus into your life, but you're absolutely convinced that you're ready, pray with me a prayer like this. Jesus, I believe that you are the one and only Son of God. Jesus, I'm asking that you forgive me for my continual waywardness, my continual pushing you away. I pray that you would forgive me and that you would save me. That you give me the ability to follow you the rest of the days of my life. I'm trusting that you hear this prayer, and I'm trusting that from here on, from this day forward, I am saved. Thank you for saving me. Many of you have prayed a prayer like that in the past. I'm going to invite you to recommit to his dream. You might say something like this: I have some aspirations, God. I have some dreams, and I even struggle to balance all the stuff on my plate. I've seen this morning that sometimes I'm sacrificing the greater things for lesser things. Today I'm recommitting to your dream. I'm recommitting to be a person of prayer. I'm recommitting to being a sweet aroma among my friends and clients and coworkers. I'm recommitting today to be part of a mosaic family. Stop doing life on my own, to really go all in with your family. And I'm committing by your grace, by your power, to grow. May you help me. In Jesus we pray. Amen. In a minute, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Before we do that, I want to introduce some people that have committed themselves to the dream. And there's a bunch of them in this church, and I can't do all of them right now, but I want to take a minute and just recognize some of our dreamers. There are small group leaders. And if you're a small group leader, would you do me a favor? Would you just stand right where you are? And Savannah, go ahead and stand. And Tad, since you support her, there you go. Bobby, would you take a minute? I want you to, would you pray over our small group leaders? Bobby's a group leader as well up here. He's already standing. But would you take a minute, just pray over them?
Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this season, in the lives of your people as they dream anew, recommit to a dream you've given them. In doing so, opening their homes and their lives and their hearts to the Mosaic family of believers, to strangers, offering their resources to make sure that people can navigate life. You've designed us to do life in this way, as your church. And I ask for your blessing on every home represented and those standing and those who couldn't be here. That your Holy Spirit would be present in every meeting, and every discussion would give you glory. That you would equip us, God, in this season to love well, to lead well, to lean into your grace, to offer it to one another. That our moments, our weeks, our relationships would just be enriched by your goodness and grace. I thank you for the ideas to go into the city blocks, Lord God, and as we do so, that your Holy Spirit goes before us and makes a way as we knock on doors, as we serve, God, as we partner. You do your mission in and through the lives of your people. Bless these leaders, God. Thank you for your ministering angels that protect them and keep them. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, group leaders. You give them a round of applause, by the way. I'm going to invite you right now. We should have a couple people here that are going to be serving the elements. So those who are going to, is it David and Kathy? Come on now. I'm going to invite you to come and take the elements. We typically come forward and we take some bread and some juice, and then you're going to take it back to your chairs. If you would like to gather with a small circle of people, maybe your family, you're welcome to do that on the sides, in the back. Just back at your seats. There are some non-gluten options on my right or your left. And so we're going to invite you to come. And then partially through this, we're going to begin singing a song. And then I'm going to come back up after the song and dismiss us. So please come.
That lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadow of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Such boundless grace, the God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lions declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began.
Jesus, we are so grateful for these moments together this morning. Father, I am praying that this would not be a nuanced, little nuanced conversation that kind of flows away with the wind. Father, I pray that some seeds are planted that stick and grow. Father, far too many of us are just searching and longing for another emotional experience, another thing to kind of confirm, to earn, to get favor from you, God. And what is so amazing is that you have freely poured out your favor on us. We live in a present reality of your grace and mercy. We are the dreamers. Men and women filled with your spirit, living that out in this city, this day, this hour. Father, I'm praying not for you to redo something that was done in the past. I'm not asking, Father God, that you kind of take us back to some good old days. Father, I am praying in Jesus' name that this people in this time, in this hour, would live the dream that you have for us. And God, I pray that in the course of these next few days, weeks, months, we might see people come to faith in you. God, I pray that we'd see it in our homes and in our neighborhoods. Father, I pray that this little church would see baptisms every month, Father God. God, I pray in Jesus' name that we would watch men and women get deployed into our neighborhoods and our schools. They are craving it. Father, I'm praying you'd raise up some volunteers to go show up at some middle schools like Giadroni. Father, like Stuart. Father, I'm praying you'd raise up volunteers to go hang out and love on kids at Lincoln High School. Father, I'm praying in Jesus' name that this church would be actively engaged in the city and that we'd watch you do amazing things in and through this church.
not because we're stirring it up again, because God, you are living your dream in the current reality right now through your church. May it be. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Guys, we have had a great time. We've kept you a little bit. Please take a few minutes and meet some people that you haven't met before you jet. We're so grateful that you've come. Next week, we're going to be back in the same place, and we're kicking off that series called Whale. And it's just a great series to bring somebody with. We're going to talk about how to come back. Is it possible for someone like me to come back? So anyway, come back. So God bless you. Have a great week.